Man, I told y'all Archer's coming back. Like, what has he done? He hasn't done anything. This was the plan from the jump, and I'm seeing all these reports. Arch Manning's coming back for 2026. Duh! I mean, come on. Anyways.
Where was he going?
That's my point, Mike. I mean, he's not going to the NFL. There's a plan in place for him to get and have as much experience there. And, Mike, I think, you know, next year, again, the pressure will be on. You thought the pressure was on this year. Now you're coming back with experience and a very good football team. They got to get there, right? It's just like Ohio State a few years ago. All right, Sark, this is the culmination of the Arch Manning, the arc of Arch. You got to get there. But I said this to you early at the beginning of the season. He's not going anywhere. The plan was always for him to at least be in school for 2, but potentially 3 years because there's no rush. They're not trying to get him to the NFL. Peyton and Eli have done this, guys. I mean, Cooper knows. Grandpa knows. Like, there was a plan. So I see those highlights, or at least those headlines, and I'm like, this is not a surprise.
No. I mean, while you were gone, Dylan Raiola transferred out again. a lot of things happen. Now, granted, they got his uncle at his position as a coach, so he took his ball and went home. Apparently, his brother's not going there anymore. And then we talked earlier, if you missed it, we'll talk more about it coming up later in the college report, but it looks like Philo is going with Butch Faulkner to Florida. Philo is in the transfer portal. That's our presumption. And Brent Key's got to go get an OC, and he's got to go get another quarterback to start, it sounds like.
Yeah, look, the OC thing.
Buster Faulkner, sorry.
Yeah. The former OC there. He worked at Georgia. Did a really good job at Tech. He did a really good job. And to take that opportunity at Florida, I don't blame him. That's fine. But the Philo thing is interesting because we felt really good about Philo stepping in there. Like, this was a guy who played well when given the opportunity. Mike, I'm not going to tell you he was going to be better than the current quarterback, but I think he had the potential to be as good, right? And that's the thing. So now you know what you had, and now you got to go into this portal thing. And by the way, there will be other good quarterbacks in the portal because this is just how it works. But the crazy thing is, you know, DJ Lagway.
Where's he going?
He was getting all this love before the beginning of the season, and then that all kind of went away, and Florida season went to crap. I don't know what his work ethic is and how dedicated Lagway is. All I know is, from a talent standpoint, physically gifted. But it didn't seem like he put it together this year.
Yeah, and again, I don't want to lump him in with Anthony Richardson, who had tremendous raw talent, but you know, and certainly should have stayed in college. And, I mean, dude, how bad are you? They won't even let your eyeball heal up. They put a 44-year-old in over you. There's a guy you drafted this guy top 10. But getting back to Lagway, you see the skills. I think he needs the right coach.
Yeah.
I think the right guy unlocks that dude. Somebody just like Jalen Milrow should have stuck. I mean, hopefully he gets with somebody. Maybe he comes to Tech. Why not?
Right? Look, if there's an opportunity and there's an opening, and you know, we'll see what happens there. But there are going to be opportunities for a lot of these guys. But that is big news today for Georgia Tech. Backup quarterback Aaron Philo. In the portal as it's being reported. And again, everybody assumes that he is going to Florida. That's what's going to happen. 404-726-0929. Back together again, man. Coming up, Dave Archer is going to join us. How do the Falcons finish strong? We will ask those questions and much more.
Guys didn't think you were coming back. I mean, people really thought like you were gone forever.
I thought about it.
And then Mike Johnson puts it out on social media. By the way, I've been traded to the afternoon show. It's now Johnson and Bell.
I thought about it. I got to tell you, Mike, bonsoir. I did think about it. Man, look, when you're having, and I'll say this may sound weird because, and I had this conversation with my wife. It is so ingrained in our sports, is so ingrained in the American culture that I have to tell you, every day that we were out in the streets overseas, not one person was talking about scores. Not one person was stopping and watching TV. You know why? There were no TVs. They're eating, they're drinking, they're socializing, Mike. They're smoking their cigarettes, but they're eating and drinking. Not one point did I go, what's the score? Who's scoring? What's happening today? It is a different feel. And I will say that because it allows you to not think about, as we do every day, and this is our job, but even if it wasn't, you guys know, you listen to us because you go to work, you talk to your boys, you're on social media, you do the same things, and it's so ingrained in us that our lives revolve around it. They don't. And that is why you can get lost in, like, what day is it? What time is it? I just had wine. It's 10:30 in the morning. I don't even care.
No, the only reason because I was dialed in, it was a shorter trip for me because you knew you were going to Berlin for the Falcons. It was all coming between the last game we just saw and the next one coming up. You're right. But the only sports bar we found in Paris, this is going back 17 years ago.
Sure.
Or however long ago it was me and Becky, 15 years ago, is they got a little sports bar. It was the only place we found that served Coors Light, and it was near the Sorbonne, the university. And day-to-day, they had these little mascots dressed in these little bull or moose outfits, and then we get inside, the girls take the outfits off, and they're gorgeous. I'm like, I said, in America, we would not market the bar the way you're marketing.
I agree.
The girls would not be in a costume with a moose head. But yeah, you're right. It's hard to find that stuff. You can find soccer anywhere, but you can't find American sports.
Yes, you can. And that's what's crazy. And by the way, I mean, you're flipping through, right? The funny thing is, I'm like, well, I'll just watch my apps. Not available in Europe.
Netflix. The apps weren't working, really?
No, Netflix was, but Paramount and some of the other stuff that I was like, oh, I'll just get caught up. You know, I think Amazon Prime, obviously, I think, or whatever, what's it, Prime Video? I think I could watch that. But all the things that you think you would be able to watch, like Peacock, that wasn't happening over there. And I was like, unavailable. But that was, to answer your question about not coming back, I see why people go and then they don't come back. Because it's a completely different feel than it is in America. But I will say this, and I've told you guys, we've got the best country in the world. And I know we've got our issues. And I've said this. We got our problems. But I'm telling you, everybody, Americans go over there for a little while, and they're like, this is great, and I love it. But there's something about being in America.
Right. And I will say, I said this after my last trip, and I think I don't want to speak for you. You know, you hear sometimes in the media that people don't love America. People love America.
They do.
And they love, as you laid it out perfectly, we have our imperfections, but we're still the best options where everyone wants to live here or try to get here. So they do still love us over in Europe.
404-726-0929. Big O, behind the glass, man, our engineer. Big O, how's the kiddos, man, by the way? Everybody good? You ready for Christmas?
Oh, they're getting bigger, yeah. I laid out all the presents I had last night and took a picture of it and sent it to my wife. She was like, don't you buy another damn thing for those kids.
This is how it happens.
Little man was on the podcast the other day.
Was he?
Yeah, he made an appearance day before yesterday. Just kind of, well, he's not so little anymore. He's all his clothes now.
As long as he didn't sound like this.
Yeah, they're 12 to 18.
that's Dennis Scott's son.
12 to 18 month clothes now. And a little bit of a development this morning. I just kind of was playing with him, and I stood him up. Held his balance for 3 seconds, so we're standing up now.
There you go.
Kind of a little bit. Yeah,
it's about
trouble.
To start.
It's all right. Trouble.
It's about to start. Day-Day, what are your boys asking for, man? I don't want to put their business out there.
Everything.
They want it all?
Yeah, and it's funny, though, because the 8-year-old, or the 9-year-old, rather, I should say, everything is money that goes, you know, like their video games. You can buy stuff, you know, I know you don't play
those
games.
Those add-ons.
But no, it's I do. I'm a gamer.
Well, it's in regards to, Roblox and all that stuff.
Yes.
So you can buy these Robux.
Yeah, it gets
and
expensive.
And he literally just asked for just that. It's just lists. I want a $100 card one. I want a $200. It's like, boy.
It gets expensive.
So
he can build and do all
exactly.
the things.
Yeah. But yeah, they're all ready. They're all set. The wife and I are actually heading out of town Friday.
Okay.
Well, with the kids, too. Her grandparents' 70th wedding anniversary.
Ooh. Congratulations. That's amazing.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, man. 70 years. So we'll head out there. Big celebration Saturday. And then we'll get back this way.
That's
get
what's
ready
up.
For Christmas.
Well, being overseas, part of it was, Mike, and you know, the deal is with it being the holiday season. And by the way, the cities were beautiful. I was telling Mike a little bit more about my trip. Part of the first part of it was Christmas markets in Germany. And obviously, nobody does Christmas like they do because they invented it. So you were going to all these different Christmas markets, and it was amazing because everything's decorated. But it was like getting gifts and trying to buy stuff, right? And Michelle's like, we got to go here, and we got to go there. I'm like, what are we doing? Are we going to buy bags to take this stuff back?
I was going to say, how many suitcases did you bring back?
Well, that was another story because we argued back and forth about, I don't need another bag. I'll just pack my bag. Your bag's like 800 pounds. It won't. We cannot do this. We need another bag. We ended up buying another bag to just bring back all the stuff that we ended up getting. But, yeah, so shopping, it's that time of year, man. Hope you're getting all your shopping done. Big O, man, we got to talk some NFL. Let's get to 4th and 1. Steelers are still alive. As a matter of fact, they could host a home playoff game after defeating the Dolphins 28-15. Aaron Rodgers, Mike, 23-27, 224 yards, 2 touchdowns last night. Steelers remain a game ahead of the Ravens. They will play the Ravens again, but I want you to hear Aaron Rodgers talking about how this win helps them with the playoff picture.
Obviously, the division game is the most important game, but these guys have won four straight coming in. We know, well, some of us, maybe a few of us, know about how, obviously, the first way to get to the playoffs is win your division. You haven't beaten Baltimore already. There's obviously tiebreakers that come into effect, including divisional record, conference record. So winning your AFC games are really important. Keeping the one game lead plus the head-to-head is big as well.
So let me ask you this, though. T.J. Watt, collapsed lung.
Basically, the similar scenario to Tyrod Taylor when they gave the pain injection for the ribs, and they basically put the needle into the lung. So all in its own way, that's kind of how it played out. So still feel they can get him back maybe by the end of next. I don't know if it's next week. Steelers wrap with Lions, Browns, and Ravens. Ravens wrap with Patriots, Packers, and then play the Steelers.
Tough ending.
So, I mean, now I can see Pittsburgh going up to Detroit. They're not that good on the road and having a hard time in Motown because they're playing for everything as well. We'll get you all the playoff scenarios a little bit later. But the Browns got absolutely destroyed by the Bears. Looks like that's going south. And then, the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, it's amazing a guy can go from 2-time MVP to looking like he's never played the position. That's where he's been at times this year.
I agree.
Tua, did you see the Tua's pick last night, guys?
Awful.
Day-Day. We talk about like the grenade toss. The only thing missing was him laying on the ground the way that Marcus Mariota did for the game you and I went to in Charlotte. That was the lamest of lame ducks I've seen thrown in competition.
Yeah, now and apparently it's being reported that Mike McDonald is saying everything is on the table in regards to whether or not he should be the quarterback moving forward.
Well, the question is Mike McDaniel going to have a job? Because we keep thinking that he's going to get got, and that's not going to happen until after the season. Mike, I thought he should have benched Tua a long time ago. I'll be honest with you.
So does Tyreek Hill and half the team.
but the investment now, right, they gave him his bag. You got to play him. And I think that played a role, and we'll just try to get through it. Look, we're past the concussions, we hope. All right? This isn't a concussion thing. This is just Tua hadn't been good. And that's why when he came and played us and all of a sudden looked like a rock star, it was so maddening.
Two teams had a very similar run. Greer gets fired. The Dolphins go on this run. They win a bunch of games. People go, hey, the Dolphins have a shot. You see when you're watching like Football Night in America, Carl, in the hunt, it's Dolphins.
That's right.
And then last night, you fall back to earth. It's like when the Cowboys beat the Chiefs and the Eagles in 5 days. Oh, the Cowboys are – no, Cowboys, they're back to just what they are, which is they're a flawed football team. I would move on, but Ross seems to really like Coach Bro. See the glasses he was wearing the other day? Look, see this stuff in Vogue doesn't mean you got to try it, man. I'm sorry, those are old lady glasses. My grandma had those glasses, man. That was 1978.
What's old is new again. Let me hear Mike McDonald talk about this disappointing outcome last night as they lose to the Steelers.
Supremely disappointed in the outcome, and I think it does a disservice to the objective, the work that we're doing on this opponent, and flat out, their team was better than our team. So focused on that and what we have to do for the upcoming next 48 hours as we get ready for Cincinnati.
If I'm Ross, the Dolphins owner, would I fire him? Yes. If I am Raheem Morris and I'm back for another year here, I'd hire him. I think he's a really good OC.
I agree with you on this.
I just don't think, and I think he'd be a good guy to maybe help to develop Michael Penix Jr. if and when he comes back. Just a thought.
Yeah, look, I know,
then we run the Shanahan stuff, which Cousins knows in the interim.
There you go. The example here is Josh McDaniel. That's the example. Hell of a coordinator, not a great head coach. Doesn't mean that you can't be great at what you do. And I think you're right, Mike. McDaniel is really good.
And Tua is not fixable. I'm not a fan of Coach Bra and the way he ran the Dolphins, but I just think Tua is one of those guys you can't fix as an OC.
By the way, Shane Steichen, coach of the Colts, says Phillip Rivers will start again next week. All right? He will start again.
Wasn't that a great story? Did you get to see any of it?
Just a little. The fact that, you talk about a guy looking like he just got off the couch.
They always say they always say Patrick Mahomes has the dad bod. No, that's a dad bod.
That's a dad bod. Hey, 4th and 1 is brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Dave Archer's coming up. Analyst for our Atlanta Falcons. How do we finish strong? That's what we're all wondering. And what does that look like? Dave Archer's next. Find out who was trying to hook up with Waiter Youssef on my vacay.
Well, hopefully it wasn't anyone in your party.
No, it was weird, but it was funny as hell as it all culminated on the last night, which was perfect timing. All right, I'll share that story coming up, but right now we got to talk to Dave Archer, analyst for our Atlanta Falcons. Arch, by the way, thanks for filling in. I know you guys had a monster show. last week and appreciate.
I'm just thankful that they found you. We had a lot of search parties out for you, and there was a lot going on. And Mike spent a ton of money on different search parties. So we had Indiana Jones even was out looking for you. So yeah. It's good to have you back, man.
Thank you.
Hear your voice.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, trying, man. You know how it goes with traveling. But I will say this. I didn't want to be found. the phone, I said this today. Like, I kept waiting for, like, messages to pop up because, you know, and some of it was delayed. Some of it didn't even come through. You ever get back to the States and it's like, boop, 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 boop. All of a sudden, you got 35 messages,
right?
Because nothing went through, and that's kind of how it was.
4,000 emails.
Yeah. So I was like, this is perfect. I didn't want to be found. Let's talk about how we finished strong, Arch, and obviously with the Cardinals coming up. Encouraging with what we saw against the Bucs. Obviously, the way we finished, and Kirk Cousins doing his thing at the end of this game, and he got some help. There's no doubt. But when we talk about finishing strong, doesn't it start there? Doesn't it start with the offense and the way that they finished this last game?
Yeah, absolutely, Carl. I think, and I don't know that you just necessarily count on the offense. Certainly the offense has maybe been a little bit more dysfunctional this year, or consistent is probably a better way to say it, consistent than the defense has been. But you're going to need both sides to make plays. I mean, certainly the ability to put 20 points or put whatever we put on the board there, we had 212, so we put 15 points on the board there in the fourth quarter to come back from 28-14 down, it was going to take all hands on deck, right? D. Alford makes an unbelievable play on an interception as he buzzes out underneath that throw to Mike Evans that we wouldn't have even gotten that opportunity had D. not made that play. So there's a lot of people involved, but you needed, first of all, to your point, you needed guys around Kyle Pitts and as it turns out, Bijan Robinson's having a monster year. Maybe the touchdowns aren't there, but still a monster year for him. That you needed some other guys to step up around those two guys, and as it turned out, David Sills, after what we thought we were gonna, you know, burn him at the stake for, we didn't have to because he was able to make some plays down the stretch. Darnell Mooney makes a big catch, albeit lays it on the ground and gets bailed up by Ryan Neusel. But there was some other guys that stepped up, and you're exactly right, Carl. Those guys are going to need to do that, but you know that other side of the ball is going to have to continue to ball out. James Pierce Jr. and those guys are going to have to go get the quarterback.
And Arch, I know we touched on it Friday, but for guys who missed Friday's show and for Carl to hear it too, how do we get, you know, Pitts was kind of in the space occupied by Drake on the route tree and the progressions. How do we maximize Pitts when and if Drake comes back?
Well, that's a $64,000 question, Mike, is to how do you get those two guys both going? First of all, number one that has to happen is Kyle has to have the mindset that he's had the last 3-4 weeks. I think he's played as aggressive as I've seen him since his rookie year. He had three 100-yard games his rookie year. He had over 1,000 yards, as you guys know, set monster expectations. And then for whatever reason, injury, mindset, change of guys playing quarterback, whatever, he's kind of gone tapered off. Well, all of a sudden, the guy that we had in 21 is now playing in 25. Mm-hmm. And so how do we make sure that he keeps that mindset? I think that's number one for him. He's got to stay aggressive. If the ball's not coming, I think he had, 10 targets or 11? I think he had 12 targets the other night. He caught 11 balls. He's probably not going to get 12 targets if Drake's in the game, but we need to make sure he gets 10 targets. We need to make sure he gets 9 targets because he flourishes the more he touches the ball. It's almost that adage, Mike, where you talk about a running back as he gets better as the game goes along. Now, I don't buy in that they get stronger because you can't. You're losing some of your energy. I think what you do is you don't lose as much as maybe some of those guys that are trying to compete around you, namely the guys that are trying to tackle you if you're a running back. I think that's the way he is. I think he gets better as the game goes along. His mindset's more ferocious. I think he goes for the throat, and I thought that's what he did on Thursday night.
Arch, Cousins is playing pretty good, isn't he? Why?
Yeah, well, Kirk's a 14-year veteran, Carl, and he knows how to play the game. I think that I think there's a lot to that. It's a really interesting question in that I think he is settled in his mind where he is with this team, what he is, what he wants his potential legacy to be or what he wants to be for this particular team or whoever he plays for potentially next year. And so there's a pride factor that kicks into players, and he's just gone back to his his what he's learned as a quarterback, getting the ball out on time, you know, making sure he gets good pre-snap looks. Obviously, guys have made some plays around him. Certainly this last game, some guys made some plays around him. But I think there's really, if you wanted to really boil it down, Carl, I think that he wants to really stick it in people's cans. That, mm-hmm. hey, I'm that guy. Mm-hmm. And I may have gotten left on the heap last year in the middle of the season, but that's not who I am. And I know there's some conversation about what I said at the Super Bowl and all those kind of things. I think there's a pride factor that kicks in there that Kirk's playing at a high level, and he wants to show people who he is.
We're going to talk to Kirk tomorrow, guys. Kirk Cousins, our player guest. We can't wait to chop this all up with him after we speak with Raheem Morris out there at the branch. And look at this, Arch. I'll try to get to a conversation without talking about pistol versus play action. The job that James Pierce Jr. has done, and they earmarked him, and credit to Terry Fontenot's staff, they got it right. He could maybe finish with 10 sacks or more. Jalen Walker's dealt with some soft tissue injuries. Otherwise, I think we might have two guys looking at double digit, right?
Yeah, no question, Mike. I think both of them have shown signs of what they can be. Jalen's been a little bit hampered with the injury bug, certainly the way the season started, and now here these last week or two, he has not had a chance to be on the field. But James Pierce Jr. was a guy that they targeted. He's a guy that Jeff Ulbrich liked a lot. Remember I talked about Will McDonald, mm-hmm. the rusher they got a couple years ago at Iowa State? They're built almost exactly the same. McDonald went off his first year. You enhanced that his second year. And that's what they expected from James Pierce Jr. Same body size, same ability to rush the passer, a guy that's a closer. I thought Bo Morgan said it really well this morning. He was talking about, you know, the difference in what he is now. And we talked about, I know you guys are talking about pressures and all that kind of stuff, but it wasn't turning into sacks. Well, he's done a good job of finding the way to finish plays. And I think that goes back to something I talk about with a lot of young players. Got to find out what you can get away with and what you can't. This is a high level of play. There's really good players playing across the ball from you that are getting paid to be the best they can possibly be. And so they're going to take some of your strengths away from you. How do you counter that? And I think that James has done a really good job of finding different ways to get there and get finished. And give Jeff Ulbrich a lot of credit. You go back and look at these last couple of games where they've run some stunts on his side of the ball, where they got in-tackle stunts where the end's looping to the inside, tackles going outside, maybe picking guys off and allowing James to get clean. Ulbrich and his staff have done an outstanding job. Nate Ollie with that defensive line has done a great job of creating opportunities for those guys. But, yeah, I think you got two really good players, Mike, and the future is set up for them.
Arch, let's talk a little bit about the Cardinals. 4 o'clock game on Sunday right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. They're not good. But we played some not good teams this season.
Right?
We've done this. We've been here. But with that said, this is a team that's trying to find themselves here at the end of the season. And this is a really good opportunity for the Falcons, and especially with the way their defense has been playing this year. I'm talking about the Cardinals. They have struggled.
Yeah, they've struggled. And obviously the wide receiver core is depleted. It's interesting. They kind of, without the backs, obviously we got two dominant running backs in our backfield. And so Michael Carter and Amari DiMarcado has tried to carry the load for them in the running back, but it's not like, obviously, Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier. So you've got that's the ace in the hole for the Falcons. Their wide receiver core has been beat up, too, and it's a nondescript group, much like Atlanta's without Drake London in the game because Marvin Harrison has not been able to play. So Michael Wilson has stepped up, and you say, who? Yeah, and Michael Wilson, third-round draft pick out of Stanford back in 23, a guy that has almost 2,000 yards receiving. It just has been shadowed, I guess. But Jacoby Brissett, Carl, is playing pretty good. I mean, the guy's done a good job of taking care of the football. He can get out and move a little bit. He's not necessarily a guy that's going to break you down in the run game. But they have not played well up front. In front of him, they've given up 47 sacks on the year. They only have 9 rushing touchdowns on the season. And so it's really fallen on Jacoby Brissett in the passing game. And with Marvin Harrison Jr. out, that's really been a heavy load for them to carry. Subsequently, their defense has struggled some as well. Their defense has really been ripped up in the run game the last two times. The Rams ran for almost 250 yards against them 2 weeks ago. And this weekend, the Texans put 150, 145 on them in the run game. So if you're getting beat two ways, that makes it tough. They only have 25 sacks as a defense. So it's really adding up to where it's been tough on them. They have taken the ball away, though. They've done a good job when they've gotten their hands on the football. So that'll be a key for us, not to let them you know, get a glimpse of light at the end of the tunnel, make them feel like, oh, here we go again type of scenario. And if you do that, because the Texans jumped on them quick, guys. I don't know if you saw the tape. Mm-hmm. Texans go right down the field and score last weekend. They kick off. And I know you guys have heard this story. The Nets, the special team screwed up, fumbled the football.
Right.
And the Texans got the ball. They got stopped. Give Arizona credit, stopped them. They kicked a field goal, and then Jacoby Brissett and the defense came in and went three, or offense came out and went three and out. Texans went down again. It was 17-0, and the offense had the ball one time.
Oof.
So if we can light that fire, light that candle, and make them feel that again, then maybe we can make them go home early in the desert.
Right. Trey McBride, 1,000-yard receiver, 10 scores. He is the weapon. I got him in my fantasy league, so mix the motions this week, Arch. Divine Diablo.
Hey!
Going to be all over him? And Jesse Bates, too?
Well, there'll be multiple guys covering him. You know, it depends on where he lines up. Mike, you know, he's like Kyle Pitts. You know, he's what Kyle's been for us the last few weeks. He's the one guy they've been able to lean on in their passing game. Guy makes big-time catches down the field. He makes possession catches. He's a really good player. And so he'll draw attention of the safeties. He'll draw the attention of the nickel. And I'm sure that at some point, Divine Diablo will be able to whack on him a little bit too, knock mm-hmm. him around a little bit. So, but that's the one thing. Don't let him beat you. You know, make some other guys make some plays. I'm sure that's what Tampa maybe had in mind. They didn't get it done, and Kyle killed him. We can't allow McBride to do that to us.
Arch, great stuff as always. Appreciate you stopping by. Have a great call this weekend, man, and we'll talk soon. We'll see you tomorrow.
Carl, welcome back, buddy. Good to have you back.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks so much. Dave Archer, analyst for our Atlanta Falcons. All right, guys, coming up, it's pretty simple. Say my name. It's Dukes and Bell.
I'm intrigued.
So one of the all-time, one of my all-time favorites, I don't know if it was yours, series was Breaking Bad. And in Breaking Bad, Walter White, that's the character's name, Heisenberg was his, is what he would tell you. Right. But
pseudonym.
Correct. Yeah. But there was one famous episode where he is basically, he's a meth distributor. For those of you who have never seen it, if it's a great series, go check it out. It's called Breaking Bad. It's years ago. Maybe 10 years ago at least now?
Right.
Probably a decade. But anyways, he famously says the line, "Say my name." And he's asserting his power and his identity in the drug trade. I am asserting my power and my identity in these picks, son. Say my name, Day-Day. What is going on, Day-Day? I mean, what's happening in your world?
Like three games over 500.
We
Jimmy the Greek.
I was nine games under and in last.
This was
place.
A segment we did yesterday, so yes. We've moved on.
What? What?
We did predict. We did predict this exact behavior from you.
What? I want you to tell me what I missed.
Did we not predict this exact same? I said Carl will act like he does on the golf course
when he hits
a big drive.
What did I miss?
You missed the fact that there have been some changings in the standings, and I'm no longer in first place.
Oh! Say my name.
You are now 26-22. If you can get to five games above 500, you can now start your own 800 number.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I'm well on my way. What they're not telling you people, okay, is in September, these same three guys right here, you're pretty quiet in there, You're pretty quiet.
Because we talked about this yesterday. Why are you bringing up old stuff,
okay,
Carl?
See. I noticed how y'all did this while I was out.
Why are you doing it? We do it on Monday. So
you saying, I noticed how y'all could have waited.
So you're feeling the people that trusted your picks when they were terrible should now trust you.
No. September, all I heard was nine games out. You should quit. You shouldn't even be involved in this
trick
segment.
Truth be told, you hit the 10-game mark. So you are...
Yes, you did hit the line
disqualified.
The line of demarcation,
and
technically.
And look at me now.
Carl, everything that...
Say my name.
Carl, everything that's happened, we've allowed it to happen.
Oh, yeah,
Carl.
Of course. All right.
We've allowed it. We've allowed this goodness to happen,
Carl. Acknowledging what has gone down. Right. So, Day-Day, by the way, because I did miss this.
Mm-hmm. Day-Day's ice cold.
0-3?
No, I went 1-2.
Okay. What 0 do?
He went two and one.
Why are you screaming at me?
But he's trying to make it seem like I had a bad week too.
And that was 2-1 just to get to 8 games under 500.
Yeah, I was gonna say the problem for O is
Mike, you're not too far from me either, there, buddy. Right now,
I went 0-3 myself.
Yeah, as a show, we're pretty bad because for me to be in second place at 22-26.
Yeah, but you were in first place forever.
Well, you know what happened was, man, I realized that.
Yeah, see what happened.
I realized that what we do with this with these picks. Yeah, that's where he went wrong.
I told you that.
Yeah. 1-7 as a favorite.
And then
more than that.
And then the one time he didn't trust them.
I told him, you never, ever bet against the Falcons on this program. We don't bet against the home team.
We don't.
He went to a very dark place, and look what happened.
I even tried to take it under on them 1 week, and they were like, nah, we're going to hit the – yeah.
Mike, correct me
if I'm wrong. The Seattle game.
The Georgia – we picked Georgia one time, right?
We all picked Georgia, and they lost to Alabama.
That's right. That was the one time. So, yes, but we try not to do that. All right. Yeah. As long as we are clear.
Are we clear?
Are we
clear? Crystal, in honor of Rob Reiner.
Yes. No doubt about that. But yeah.
So now let me ask you this, because I threw it out there yesterday.
I made those picks on a plane, by the way, or maybe a train. I don't even remember. All I remember was send your picks.
You had Army, and Army covered the 6. Yeah. You know,
go Army.
Right? Mm-hmm. Navy won.
They did. Barely.
Anchors away.
Barely.
Yeah, that one messed me up because I literally told the guys.
Oh, that game should have been a 10-point game. Horvath doesn't have that turnover.
Yeah, I literally tell the guys, you know what? This game has hit the over just once in the last 5 matchups. I might take
they don't
the,
score a lot,
and then
man.
I end up taking the over just because, and look what happens.
Yeah, even when they're explosive. They're, like a couple of years ago, remember Army was like undefeated. They were talking about maybe Army going to the playoff. But yeah, good game. But yeah, I was just curious, man. So now that we've got that out the way, Daddy, what's on your mind?
Gosh, man. Welcome back, Carl.
No doubt.
All right, first off, let me give a shout out to all of the flag football and football state champions. Rocking in Mercedes-Benz on the flag side. We've already got several champions in the book. Shouts out to Harris County. They beat Washington County for the 1A or the Division I title. Greenbrier runs it back 3 in a row. They beat Jenkins for the Division II title. And then earlier today, North Oconee knocked off Whitewater, as well as Blessed Trinity beating Milton by 1 point.
Oh, brutal. Brutal.
Yeah.
So and all the girls have finished.
No, there's two more. One more tomorrow for the girls. And then on the boys' side, we've got Bowden winning 4 in a row. Caden Proctor, the big UGA commit.
Yeah.
He's a signee now, I believe. But 4 state titles in a row for him.
It's hard to do.
How crazy is that?
No, that's crazy. Yeah.
All right. So they win the single A Division II. Single A Division I is actually taking place right now. Class 2A will be later on today after this game. 4A last night, what a game. Creekside and Benedictine, 42-39, Creekside.
Yeah, I got some buddies, kids who play for Benedictine.
What?
There's a tear in their beer,
game.
Man. Creekside.
I mean, so here's the deal. Creekside jumps out to a 21-3 lead, comes back Benedictine. 18 unanswered. They take the lead into the halftime. Creekside comes out second half, jumps back up by like another 18. Benedictine comes back, gets within 3 with less than a minute to go, tried the onside kick. Creekside was able to recover and run out the clock. Crazy game, man. So shout out to Coach Maurice Dixon. That's their first title since 2013 and their second in program history.
Congratulations.
So, and then, of course, like I said, Worthy County and Tombs taking place right now. They'll be followed by Hapeville. And shout out to Hapeville. Amazing story. They don't have a field. They don't have facilities.
A home field?
They don't have anything. They don't have a practice field. You know how some schools don't have stadiums, but they got a practice field. They just practice on some property that's just next to the campus.
Wow.
Like, and it's not set up with lines. It's not lined or anything. It's just a field. No fence around it. So it's on a main road. So like the ball literally could just land in the street.
I mean, not to be a wise ass, there's a bunch. Georgia State can't lend them some time down there at the old Truist. Turner Field.
Well, the whole thing is this will be if they were to win it, this would be their second title.
Wow.
So talking about doing more with less.
Yeah.
They are the true definition of doing more. So shout out to Coach Winston Gordon.
Woodward Academy can't lease them some time.
Hey, listen, man. They just get it out the mud, as they say.
Right. That's
a hell of a factoid, man.
Yeah. So, but, and then later tonight, you've got the big one, Carrollton and Buford.
Those kids are different. Coach, where are we practicing? Right here on this scene. Right here. Let's go.
Exactly. No,
that's what that is?
That's literally what it is. No, I'm not playing.
That's crazy.
Like, we can hop in the car. I'll take you guys over there, and you would be like, holy crap. All right. Real quick, let me ask you something. Originally, it was questioned. CFP expanding. Can it, you know, how's that going to impact NFL? Don't think it's a good idea. But I think it's working out. I want to get you guys' thoughts. Is it safe to say college football and the NFL can coexist and both be successful in ratings, even though it's just a small sample size right now?
I got into a big argument with Brett Jukes from the Falcons about this last year when I said, you know, shame on the NFL. He goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. NFL has had Saturdays, and they generally go from the second or third Saturday in December on, and they've had it for years. It goes back decades.
Yeah.
And so college actually stepping on the NFL's toes, technically. And so I don't know when else college can play it.
Right.
You know, now could you ever get to, can the two entities get together and say, hey, NFL, we'll play during the day and you play at night? That's not the way that cookie crumbles. So, but to Brett's, and he's right about this, the NFL moved mid-December to Saturdays decades ago, and college has stepped on their toes by definition of stepping on toes. Only other option would be, what are you going to do? Wednesday or Friday? Because the NFL owns Thursday, and that's it, and Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, so you think they can coexist, though, and both be successful?
We'll be watching, but the national numbers, I mean, aren't as good as college would have if they were going solo.
Yeah.
I think, look, if the matchups are intriguing, we'll watch. We'll be interested. If the games are good, obviously, you know, people now with social media, you tell your people, right? Everybody starts to follow the game as it's moving. Can they both be successful? Yes. But to Mike's point, somebody's going to own the day. And that's the thing. Like, you've got to have two amazing college football games to own the day. You could have two average NFL games and own the day. True. That's the difference, because people are just so addicted to the league. So, but yeah, man, look, I don't know the answer to this, Mike, as far as the scheduling is concerned, but you're trying to be where the audience is, right? I mean, I just asked you guys about the Dogs playing. We're going to talk to Connor Riley coming up here at 4 o'clock about, you know, the Dogs and everything that's going on. But I just asked you guys, like, hey, Dogs playing at 8 o'clock, you know, when they play a week from tomorrow or whatever, or this weekend. That's prime time. I don't care if there's an NFL game going on or not. They're going to be where the audience
is. And I looked it up. I found it thanks to AI. It was after the merger, when the AFL and NFL merged. Saturday games began in 1970.
Wow.
So they've got – that's guys. They've been doing this for four decades plus. So
it's been lost because of the wild card games on those Saturdays. Yeah. I mean, all the stuff. Obviously, teams – the playoffs have expanded since, you know,
But the 80s and 90s. And they would not go toe-to-toe on Saturdays with, like, New Year's, things like that. But they do play the third week in December on, and that's where we're at. So college is stepping on their toes.
All right, last thing. What is the most embarrassing personal hygiene thing you forgot to do before you got out of the house and headed to whatever your destination was?
I would tell you combing my hair, but that's just not a big deal to me anymore.
Brush the teeth.
Yeah, brushing teeth. Because I'm always conscious of that.
Yeah, same. Mike walked in on me in the bathroom today because I literally
got here. Spoken to Jay, by the way.
What are you doing? Spoken to Jay? I was like, no. Brushing my teeth. Literally was driving to work.
You sure and didn't go, you want some?
Right. Smoking in the boys. Like, what you doing in there, man? Going through your rucksack. And I said, well, I got some Dentine with the whitening if you want some of that, because that's my go-to whenever I get to brush.
Yeah, no, I stopped at a store on the way here and grabbed a small tube of toothpaste. Yeah, I keep toothpick things in the car.
And hey, by the way, if you got one of those individual floss things, don't drop that on the sidewalk.
Yeah, that's pretty gross.
That is some nasty stuff, man, I've seen around.
Well, you should see sometimes when I go in the parking garage, it's like a trail of like 9 or 10 coming from the door. Like somebody just dropped a whole pack of them out.
Throw it in the garbage, man. Come on.
On this last flight we went on, both coming and going, you know, you get, depending on where you're sitting, but Delta gives you a travel pack. It's got a toothbrush in there.
Right.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, who's brushing their teeth on this flight? No, I'm being serious. Like, you know, you look at this, you unzip it, you're like, oh, this is cool. Oh, some mints, you know, some earplugs, eye covers so I can get some sleep. Toothbrush. Who is brushing their teeth on this flight?
Well, maybe after you had your coffee before.
Oh, the people
That last bathroom break before, you know, you're hitting the airport.
Absolutely.
And customs.
Or maybe it's for the people that maybe if you forgot your stuff and you may not have time before you check into your hotel.
But to Mike's
whatever.
Point, like if you get fed a couple of meals on these international flights, then you're like, oh, I got to go brush my teeth. Yeah. But it was weird because I was like, that feels weird to be like in the stall there brushing my teeth.
Yeah.
But whatever.
All right, well, that's what's on my mind, guys.
Day-day. say my name. Coming up, Connor Riley's on the way, guys. What's going on with them dogs, Kirby Smart and Georgia, and how they're approaching this time off? And Mike said it. I'm telling you, today you're filling me in on all this. Shoplifting? What happened with this situation? Connor Riley's going to fill us in next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.